Securities offered through registered representatives of Caterick Grant & Company, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents, helping you make sense of your dollars on Fickle 93.3. Have a question for the show? Email Mike and Judy at dollarsandcents@fickle933.com. And now your hosts, Mike Silverstein and Judy Plain.
Thanks for tuning in today, everyone. This is Judy Plain.
And this is Mike Silverstein with Freedom Financial Planning.
So no one topic this morning, but Mike promises to have lots of topics that are interesting.
It's an eclectic show
today.
Interesting is very subjective. It's interesting
to
me. So that's
all important.
And hopefully
to most of our listeners.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm in a good mood. Well, ask me why I'm in a good mood.
Why are you in a good mood, Michael?
There's a couple of things that I'm very excited about. Number one, Buffalo Bills are back at training camp.
Oh, that is true.
So how
Boy,
could I not be
all
jacked up about
Doesn't
that?
Doesn't it?
Top to bottom, it's the best looking team they've had in so long, including the coaching staff. Got to get somebody to throw the ball. I don't care if it's...
I was just going to ask you that question.
You just got to throw it 5 yards with these receivers and let them run with it.
They'll get it, yeah.
I can do that. For God's sakes, I'll do it for like 10 bucks a game. Just let me do it.
Get you an appointment with Rex Ryan or what?
I'm game if he is.
Let him take a look at you?
I can take a hit, too. I can do that. I'll stand in the pocket.
So let's make your call right now on who's going to start the first game.
Oh, that's a tough
one.
And
we won't even say not preseason.
The rumor mill is Matt Castle. That's what I've been hearing as the guy that seems to be the leader right now. None of them have really stood out much at all. But the guy that keeps making a play every single day at training camp, he's very inconsistent, but the one who always makes a play that makes your eyes pop out is Tyrod Taylor. The guy that they signed from the Baltimore Ravens. He was the backup there. You know, not a lot of experience, but he's 4 years in the league, but he never had a chance to play because Joe Flacco was always so good in Baltimore. So, and he's always a very healthy quarterback. So this guy is making people say...
if that's a glimpse of what's in there.
He's got...
Don't you got to give him a little time.
Unbelievable.
In the starting
talent.
Position... to see how it goes.
I would be very interested. I mean, we'll see when the bullets really start to fly in preseason how he handles it. But that's my guy. I'm thinking, and I love EJ Manuel. Like, I've been a big supporter of his since he came to the Bills. I root for the guy because he seems like such a decent guy. You know,
he
every
seems
interview
to be handling it well.
He handled being benched last year,
Which is big.
It was big.
It's hard to handle.
It is very hard, and he seems like a genuinely good guy. So I root for him. He's the guy I want to start, but he's got to play. I mean, he's got to play well enough to warrant it. And
you know, it goes back to without experience, if you don't get a chance to play, you don't ever have a chance to show what you're made of, right?
Yeah, all true. There are other things going on, actually, that should keep me in a good mood.
An eclectic mix of things that are going to excite people here?
I hope so. Rochester as a whole should be extremely excited. You know, we're driving into the studio here today, and Broad Street's all chewed up and cones all over the place. And you know what? Yes, it's a pain, but people are out there working. They're making the roads better. It's a time of season where, you know, people, you know, the roads are under construction.
Put extra time into your travel time.
It's kind of a pain, but the long-term benefit will be there.
There's some delays by the 390 exchanges at 15 and 15A.
I love this time of year. Like, people are out working. The job reports are as good as we've seen in this country in over a decade. So that part is really exciting, too. The news is generally, big picture, pretty good. And here in Rochester, we just got word a week or so ago that we are going to be the photonics capital of the world, basically. The U.S. Federal government and a lot of local resources are going into building this photonics concentration here. And this literally, this is such big news for this area. I hope people really appreciate what this can do. And we've already had a nice upswing in good-paying jobs here in Rochester, certainly compared to a lot of our Western New York peers. And now we get this huge opportunity with the photonics plant and institute that they're building here. It literally means thousands of good-paying jobs. And it all, in the end, to me, comes back to University of Rochester and RIT. You know, that these guys, men and women, put in, you know, a tremendous amount of dedication. And, you know, we would be lost as a city without them, because with Kodak and Xerox and Bausch & Lomb all taking their hits over the last 15, 20 years, the U of R and RIT have been there still producing. Their great reputation is out there. They're growing.
Really great rates.
Absolutely. So I'm
beautiful
I'm,
campuses.
Yeah, I'm
so
I'm
much
just,
good done there.
I'm really excited about all that. I'm excited for the city. I think long term future for us means a lot. Hopefully, we get to take advantage of that. Another building project that's going on. It's not local here to Rochester, but almost everybody has flown through this airport at one point or another. LaGuardia is getting a massive.
I'm excited to hear that. Anyone that's flown into LaGuardia, and I won't tell you what I said it was before we got on air. We'll be very thrilled to see it's going to look have a better look and be more up to date.
Finally is getting an upgrade. Now, hopefully they do the same with JFK, which is also a pit.
I know.
But LaGuardia is just ridiculous. It always has been for decades. And $4 billion they're investing in LaGuardia. And as an upstater, I should probably be upset about that. But in all honesty, I'm not. I've flown through LaGuardia enough times.
It needs an upgrade.
Yeah. It's time. It's way overdue.
We all agree on that.
Yeah. And you know, let's face it, it represents our state when people come to visit here, and we want to put on a decent impression instead of what you see, which is carpeting from the 1970s and pretty much everything else looks like it's been from the 1970s. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, lots of good stuff going on around if you're willing to keep your eyes open and look at it. The markets, not so good. You know, we haven't had a great run. It's been down. I mean, the last couple of weeks really haven't been very good. Today happens to be a pretty good day, and we're actually making up some ground today, finally. But the overall theme has been pessimistic, if I were to be blunt on the market. A lot of bigger investors keep saying, where's the drive for the next leg of the stock market? And that's the struggle is, you know, we've had a big run. There does not seem to be any catalyst out there to generate more growth. And so it's very stagnant. A couple of interesting stocks, I think, that have been really on the forefront of driving the stock market up have also taken their lumps in the last couple of weeks. One of them is Apple, which everybody is looking at and just wondering what's going on there. This was a stock that at its high point, I think, got up to about 132. Last I saw, it was around 114, I think, today. And it doesn't sound like a huge move, but it's actually in full-blown correction territory.
Right.
And you know, you look at they're being punished for being such a good company. They have more cash on hand than probably most countries in the world. I think it's over $200 billion in cash that they have. The question now is
it's a staggering
amount of cash. What are they going to do with it?
Do you think there's a lack of confidence in the products that will be coming?
The question is, what's the next product?
Right.
And people are looking at, they just got downgraded. They got downgraded by Bank of America today or yesterday. And the issue here is that 70% of their revenue comes from the iPhone. And what else could it possibly do to grow and be bigger than what it is right now?
How do you sustain that, right?
So, yeah, that is, and, you know, this new iPhone 6 Plus, which I have, you know, I like the bigger screen. People make fun of me for it, but I like the bigger screen.
The phablet hanging off your hip?
Yes. You know, it basically destroyed Android when it came out. At least it seems to have.
I have a bad problem from that, by the way. You're going to be uneven with it.
I'll be fine.
Hanging off the right
side. I'll be fine. I can take the teasing, whatever. It has an issue with, you've gotten so big now, you're not going to make a bigger phone probably. That doesn't seem to make much sense. And people now have upgraded to this newer, bigger phone if they wanted it. What's next? And
there's those like me who haven't gotten a smartphone yet. So that group of people will get their first iPhones.
Most people are converting from an Android. You're converting from this flip phone from 1983.
It was later than
Sonny and Crockett used to use on Miami Vice. Anyway, that is one of the issues that that Apple is facing. And I just personally, I kind of think they're being punished for being such a good company and being so dominant for so long. It seems to still be a great company. I have tremendous faith that they'll come up with a new product.
So it's all about the next product.
It is.
And I can't even imagine what that might be. I haven't even read about it.
Look out for the Apple car.
It's going to be,
I'm telling you, that's out there.
It could be big.
They've been toying with TV for years. They haven't really been able to do a slam dunk on that yet. Speaking of TV, the other company that has been hit today is Disney. And Disney, again, one of those leaders, has had a phenomenal run. I think they were up over 30% in the last 12 months. So this is a company that has done very well for itself. Very strong, stable company. But now, they just today, they released their earnings announcement either last night or this morning, and they're being somewhat punished. They're down about 7 or 8% because I guess there was some announcement about ESPN in there. Of course, Disney owns ESPN, and they're feeling the hit of a lot of people in Matt's generation over there, our producer, they're cutting the cord. They're getting out of cable TV. ESPN is by far the largest component of cable TV revenue. Each cable TV subscriber pays $6 a month for ESPN. And to give you an idea of how big that is, the next closest channel, this is a regular channel, not HBO or Showtime or those things. The next closest normal cable channel, you pay $1.50 a month for. So they're four times as much as their next closest revenue generator. It's having an impact, right? So the people are starting to freak out. Disney, again, is very smart, and the people at ESPN are very smart. If you look more closely at what they've done, they've actually set themselves up down the road. If they do want to separate from cable and be a separate platform that people can stream and pay for a streaming subscription, like you can do for HBO now, they have that capability, or they, if they don't, they will have it soon. So, you know, I don't worry too much about that type of thing. I look at Disney as still being an incredibly run company. Don Iger, the guy that is the CEO, is just fantastic. The guy he took over from was fantastic. So they're doing all the right things. And what the heck, a new Star Wars is coming out later this year, and they own the Star Wars franchise. So there's a lot there to like about Disney, but you know, they're being somewhat punished, I think, because the growth expectations were extremely high and not quite what the market had hoped for today. So that's kind of some of the random rumblings that are going on around the market. One last thing out there, gold has had a really weird couple of months. It's been on the downside. One of the things that people do not know is there are, you know, countries hoard gold as a way of backing their currency very often. The largest holder in the world of gold is, drumroll, the United States.
United States.
By a lot. Like, we double more than any other country's holdings. Germany is the next closest. We have an estimated 8,000 tons of gold. I'm assuming that's at Fort Knox, although that's a whole other mystery that I won't get into right now, because nobody actually knows.
Somewhere.
So we have over 8,000 tons. Germany has about 3,500 tons. And then the next closest is the IMF, which has about 2,800 tons. So, you know, there are countries that are holding gold. One of the things that disrupted the market was China decided to sell very quickly, and without anybody expecting it, they sold a large chunk of their holdings. And that could be a symptom of China's unhealth right now. So that's just some stuff to keep an eye on, some random things going on in the market. When we come back, interesting subject, I hope, for a lot of people out there, vacation homes. A lot of times they get split up by family members, and it can cause some trouble in the family dynamic. We want to give you some advice for those of you that either have a vacation home or are thinking about getting a vacation home.
You are listening to Dollars and Cents, helping you make sense of your dollars on Fickle 93.3. If you have a financial question, email Mike and Judy at dollarsandcents@fickle933.com or visit freedomrochester.com. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents on Fickle 93.3, helping you make sense of your dollars. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Judy.
All right, so welcome back, everybody. I was looking through an article that was in Trusts and Estates magazine, which is a rather dull publication for most people out there, but
just the fact you were looking through
there was an article.
Speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah, I won't get into that. But there is an article that kind of struck me because I saw Judy go through a lot of this with her own personal life. I'm going to bring her in here to talk a lot about this.
And he's thought about getting a vacation home himself.
Absolutely,
many times.
I've had this conversation with you many times.
Because it's always a great dream. It's wonderful. We've got, especially in the Finger Lakes region, if you live in Rochester and you have a cottage on one of the Finger Lakes, how great, right? A family cottage.
It's a dream come true for me. I've always wanted it. My wife looks at me and says, you can't take care of one house. What are you going to do with two?
That's one of the issues.
And that's a hard argument for me to counter right now. Plus, we have two kids about to go to college, so there's all of that to contend with. But, you know, if it all worked out, that's kind of my dream. And you advise me, don't do it. And one of the ways that maybe I could do it would be if I were to split this house with my sister and her family that lives in Rochester.
Right.
So explain to us some of the pitfalls that you've seen.
Well, you would be creating the legacy now, right? I inherited the legacy, right? Which my grandparents bought the property back in the 50s, and then they built a seasonal cottage on it, and they built a home on it. They made it their retirement home. Well, that went to my uncle and my father, of which my father gave each of me and my siblings his share. So you can see how it got dissolved.
Which is not uncommon, right? What else are you going to do with something like that?
So now we've got five owners, right? One owns half, four of us own the other half, right?
Okay.
Well, then all four of you have to be on equal ground on how you're going to have it or how you're going to use it and how much money they can spend on it. So in my family, two of them didn't really use it enough or have the money to keep it. So we were faced when we had young children to buy them out, right?
Right.
So, and that doesn't ever go well either, because it's the family place that now they don't have anymore, right? So it's hard.
I'm sure that leads to hard feelings.
Right?
That's not easy.
So then it became time for my uncle to retire, and he wanted his own place, of course. So someone had to buy out someone, right? And then amidst all that and in between, you have to get along. Who gets to use it when?
Yep.
Who's going to fix everything? Who's going to maintain everything? And what if there's a roof leak that's an emergency?
Right.
And somebody can get there and somebody can't. That usually falls on one person. So what I would say is you have to really have a meeting and agree to all that.
So in your family, how did you had a bunch of people who had access to the cottage, it sounds like, at first.
We did.
How did you decide who would get it when?
We had decided that weekends were a free-for-all, that you could book your weekends, but because there's so few weekends of good weather in Rochester or upstate New York, that weekends would be a free-for-all. And we were okay with that for a long time. Friday to Sunday, anybody in the family that wanted to come, stay, show up, was fine. Mm-hmm. And then you could book your vacation weeks there otherwise.
Okay.
And they worked okay.
That doesn't sound too rough. That's
right,
good.
Right, because that's the other thing. Let's say, you know, there's four of you and that leaves 3 weekends or 3 weeks apiece over a summer, a 12-week summer here. You could easily hit bad weather all three of those weeks, right?
Right.
So it gets a little, well, you got it the good week, or, you know, who gets it 4th of July week? Who gets it Labor Day weekend, right? I mean, it gets complicated.
It does. Now, did you, in the ownership setup of your house, did you have it set up as an LLC or, you know, a family limited liability or anything like that?
No, nope, just in private names. Each of us owned our little share.
Okay.
You're all on the deed listed with your portion of ownership.
Okay. And was it joint tenants with right of survivorship or in common?
That's a great question. Let's clarify what that means, because joint with right of survivorship means it goes to the other person, which we wouldn't want.
So if somebody dies, right?
If someone dies. So my share, I would want to go to my children, right? Mm-hmm. As my sister would to her children. So if something happened to me, I wouldn't want her to get my share. I would want them. So that would be...
Well, that's right of survivorship if the sister would take it.
Yes.
Okay. Tenants in common is if you have the ability to pass your portion of the estate or
the ownership of the cottage,
of the
in this case,
to whomever you choose.
My heirs. Yeah, based on my will.
Right.
So
that is...
And you have to think about that when your attorney, if you buy something like that, you really have to make sure you set that up correctly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a big deal. And it's a huge argument down the road. And I think, you know, it's kind of sad that your grandparents did this, obviously, with the best of intentions. And
to have a nice family place for everyone to enjoy.
And it kind of ends up devolving into a family, well, I can't say what kind of contest, but it ends up being very frustrating.
Sure.
Because, you know, and let's face it, there's all different types of people in the family structure, right? Some are more successful financially
different.
Than others. Mm-hmm. Makes it easier for certain people to make their payments or their share of the costs, and then other people are kind of struggling to pay. So that does lead to a lot of difficult questions. Now, did you have something set up where you had family meetings about the cottage, or was it just kind of whenever something came up, everybody would start screaming at each other?
We started with some ground rules, and then it got a little, you know, less and less. They became fewer and farther between because you kind of settle into, you know, things are just running fine and the ground rules, you know, are holding mostly. Mm-hmm. But then some variables get thrown and then you have to decide, do we have another meeting? I would say yes.
Yeah.
Now, oftentimes you look the other way. It's important to probably have annual meetings where you set the ground rules for that year based on what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I would guess so. And then when things did come up, let's say a new roof that needed to be done, and it's going to be, you know, $5,000 to put on a new roof, would you all just split it equally? Or
you would split it based on your ownership.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that certainly makes sense. You know, a lot of families, I think, really struggle with the dialogue portion of
it's hard.
Of ownership.
It can be very stressful.
And there's a lot of hidden feelings probably that percolate
that
under
come back from years of a family being together. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
And that, you know, even if you think you know your family going into it, it's very difficult to own a property with someone else. Mm-hmm. You like things, everybody likes things their way.
Right.
And then, so for you, say you bought one with your in-laws, mm-hmm. four of you would own it, two families, and eventually you could leave it to your children. Well, now how many people own it? And the more that happens, the more difficult it becomes to manage.
Right, right.
And rarely would an attorney recommend you let that happen.
Now, for you, you own it outright now, right?
Yes.
Eventually,
so
over the course of years.
So I ended up buying out. Everyone needed something different, and I just kept buying out
okay.
their portion.
And now what are you thinking of doing to set it up for your kids? Because the whole purpose of that was so that you could leave it eventually to your kids.
Yes. And I think that I'm going to have to talk to an attorney and really decide how to do that. Because right now I can foresee one of my children being here and using it and one never being able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to be fair.
No. And that might be the case where, you know, one child gets the cottage and another child gets some cash out of your estate to... somewhat equivalent. And knowing your kids, especially the one that isn't in the area right now, I think he would be extremely level-headed about it, is my hunch. But that's, you're absolutely right about addressing it ahead of time and having a conversation rather than surprising them someday when you're dead and then the conflict starts. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sharing some of your personal experience with that, because it's still my dream. You know that. You're going to have to work hard to convince me otherwise. I am going to have to take a quick break here. But when we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the tax extensions that the federal government gave us that kind of went under the radar, people don't know about.
You are listening to Dollars and Cents, helping you make sense of your dollars. On Fickle 93.3. If you have a financial question, email Mike and Judy at $@fickle933.com or visit freedomrochester.com. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents on Fickle 93.3, helping you make sense of your dollars. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Judy.
Welcome back, everyone. So we have a few expiring tax provisions that have been extended.
Well, you know, as our
Congresses
want to do, they love to sit and do nothing, but this allowed them to do the minimal amount of work involved of just extending some tax breaks that they've already had on the books for years, but they were set to expire. And it creates quite a headache for tax planners and for accountants.
Right. Until you know it's been actually extended.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't utilize the strategy.
So frustrating. But a couple of the ones that I think would reach our audience and have some mass interest. First of all, on the list here, I was pleased to see teachers get their $250 above the line tax deduction. And living with a teacher, I
family
see that they
full of teachers.
Yeah, I have a family full of teachers. You know, we we do spend our own personal money on classroom needs and equipment and things like that. So I'm very glad to see that that continues. So $250, they estimate that that will cost the government $430 million over the next 10 years.
Just a little tiny speck in that whole budget.
I know that's a lot of money, but in the big picture, it's an insignificant.
$430 million.
I know, it is crazy. We also are seeing, here's one that may or may not affect a lot of people in this area, but certainly in New York City, it's a huge issue, and that is parity of the tax deduction for parking benefits and mass transit that people have to take. There was this argument that people were getting a better tax break for driving and parking their car than for taking mass transit, so that seems to have been fixed.
Yeah, it's good.
Deduction for state and local taxes, believe it or not, that was set to expire. So if you live in a high taxation state like New York, where here you are paying the state government.
More.
Oh, it's you know, it's obnoxious.
Sales tax income tax.
Well, it's a New York state income tax in particular.
Right.
That they're,
you can deduct one or the other,
yeah,
whichever's higher.
Yeah, well, usually in New York, it's,
income
it's
tax.
Obviously the income tax. It stinks. And but, you know, you deduct it and then... you know, you get that much lower on your federal tax as well. That could have expired this year, and you would have had to pay full boat on both.
That would have had a big impact.
For a state like New York, it would have been devastating to our economy.
Did it mention the savings? The cost to the federal government.
Yes, they're estimating it'll be approximately $6.7 billion over 10 years.
Right.
It's pretty big, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, for government expenditure, that's a pretty big item. Above the line, tax deductions for higher education. The maximum deduction, again, was extended $4,000 for couples that make less than $130,000 a year. A two-year extension of this provision. This really isn't a big budget item, believe it or not, for the government.
No.
If this were to go over 10 years, they estimate it'll cost $608 million over 10 years. So, again, not a big deal.
No.
But here's a big one for us. The charitable tax deduction directly from an IRA, that is something that is extremely useful for people that have to take money out of their IRA.
What that means is if you take the money directly out of the IRA and give it directly to the charity.
Correct.
You don't have to claim it.
Correct.
Well, you get to deduct the income.
Right. So the big deal here is, of course, once you turn 70 and a half, the government stipulates that you have to start taking money out of your IRA or 401k. And if you don't need it, you know, hopefully you're in a situation where your income stream is fantastic and that money is just extra for you. If that's the case, you can donate all that money to a charity and it never affects your income. And
it's not taxable.
It's not, and that's a huge benefit for a lot of people.
It's a great way to foster giving to charitable organizations.
Yeah, everybody wins.
How better to do that than offer someone a tax savings?
Everybody wins, but you know the government. If there's a way for them to mess something up, they'll do it. And
so cynical today.
That was, I'm bitter about Congress, if nothing else.
Here
so
he goes.
They were. They were set to have that expire this year, and I think I mentioned that in one of our programs towards the end of last year that this clause is going to sunset in 2015. They did extend it for two more years, and they estimate it'll cost $1.86 billion over the next 10 years.
And I don't even feel fully that people are utilizing that strategy to its fullest capability.
Probably not.
Not entirely aware of it. Haven't quite the concept hasn't quite caught on.
Probably not. So we're
It'll
trying
grow,
to,
though. It
but
grow.
We want to spread the word because it is a neat little tool to
it
have
is.
In the tool bag.
You're trying to manage taxes, especially.
Yep, absolutely. And again, we are out of time for this week. Do appreciate everyone tuning in today. Again, this is Mike Silverstein with Freedom Financial Planning,
and this is Judy Plain.
You work hard for your money,
and we make your money work hard for you.
Thanks for listening to Dollars and Cents, helping you make sense of your dollars on Fickle 93.3. Have a question for next week's show? Email Mike and Judy at dollarsandcents@fickle933.com or visit freedomrochester.com. Dollars and Cents, Saturday morning starting at 9 on Fickle 93.3. We play everything.